Putting the Scat in Eschatology. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario on Joy 1250. Dr. Jeffrey Rediger, he is a faculty member at the Harvard Medical School. Right there, that's all you need. For the rest of your life, that's the only moniker you need.
Harvard.
That's a chick magnet right there. But he's also a miracle investigator. Here's a website for you to go to, medicineofhopeandpossibility.com. Medicineofhopeandpossibility.com.
Someone's got to get the prescription check.
Dude, I was out way too late last night. Oh, I didn't even tell the story.
I tried to ask, but we ran out of time, man.
Anyway, Dr. Jeffrey Rediger is on the phone, and I don't want to waste any more time reading his bio. My first question to Dr. Jeffrey Rediger, which I love saying. Dr. Jeffrey Rediger, have you met Jennifer Garner?
I have not.
Oh. Okay, goodbye.
Interview over.
That's it. Obviously the reason I asked that is because of the big movie that came out, Miracles from Heaven, and I watched the thing. You know, they send me the screener, and so I watch it, and I'm always ready to be disappointed by these kinds of movies. And I ended up sobbing like a wee... Meg's and went. I'm looking at my intern because I'm kind of a sexist jerk, and she's very politically correct. Meg's, if I say I wept like a little schoolgirl, is that bad? Is that sexist? It's a little bit, okay.
A big school girl.
Okay, a bigger school
with
girl?
With a mustache.
An overweight. Anyway, and that got me thinking, and I asked the mom, the actual mom from that movie, I asked her, okay, the kid falls down the tree and then is healed from whatever disease she had because she fell down the middle of a tree and hit her head. And so they go, well, way to go, God, that's a miracle. And I'm thinking... That's a really weird way for God to do a miracle, number one. Number two, could you not say, you know, like when people get hit on the head and they become a savant of some sort?
Like, didn't John Travolta do a movie
about
that?
He did a movie about that, yeah.
Phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
That's a theme.
So let's get Dr. Jeffrey Rediger to rescue this conversation. Sir, falling down a tree, hitting your head, does that cure diseases?
Not typically. Not according to the way we usually think about reality and medical illness, no.
So what happened? Do you think that was a legit God story? And how... You can't prove God stories. You just can't. The only time I can believe if someone, you know, really got healed is when a leg grows back. Then I'll go, wow, that was God. Until such time, the internal workings, the biochemical, right, the physiological workings of a human body, dude, weird stuff happens. You're a doctor. You know this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think stories like this really do shake our paradigms a little bit. I don't think that miracles are against the laws of nature. I think that they are probably, I think the word miracle, just like the word spontaneous remission, I think they're black boxes that we haven't really examined with science yet. And so when we see a story like this where there's medical evidence that a person had a really, really difficult medical illness, and that's considered by all we know in science to be incurable without treatment, that really reverses the illness, and then you see that the illness goes away very quickly within a very short period of time, within even less than a week perhaps, or very quickly, then that certainly does raise our really gives us pause. It makes us wonder whether we really have the whole story in terms of how healing happens. It is fascinating that in the history of medicine, we've never scientifically studied people who have these kinds of stories or who beat the odds and healed from incurable medical illnesses. And so I think that's an area of investigation that we would do well to investigate much more closely.
Okay, but this is what you are doing, are you not?
Yes, that's what I'm doing, correct.
I don't know how long you've been doing it for, so I hesitate to ask the question, you know, how many cases have you investigated? And when you...
I've looked at over 100 cases and since 2003.
Okay, all right. Do you have any conclusive results that'll blow the rest of us away?
Yeah, I think what it's changing the way I think about everything as a physician and as a person. As you know, I went to seminary before medical school, and I come from a very conservative religious background, and so I had some burning questions I was really trying to answer personally. And to listen to these people tell their stories and to know that these people have medical evidence both for accurate diagnosis and then for recovery from illnesses that in normal medicine we do consider to be incurable or fatal. To hear these people tell these stories over and over, and we see that there are principles that do appear to be associated across many different types of illnesses with how these people got better, it's life-changing for me. And it's made me really begin to think about health and illness very differently.
Okay, you have just got so much to unpack here. Get to it, man. You're freaking me out. So does that mean you believe in God more? Does that believe you believe in science more? Does that mean you think that the brain is such a trippy thing that's why there is such a thing called the placebo effect? What's going on?
Well, that's a really good question, and there's a lot of different ways and angles from which one can talk about this. I think science is changing, and I think our understanding of God and spirituality is changing too. And so all of this is happening together. I think science and the church have been really enemies for a long time for very complicated historical reasons. But that's changing very quickly right now. Spirituality is now present in a way that's separate from institutional religion than it has ever been, and large groups of people around the world now are free to experience God in their own way and in their hearts and have a relationship spiritually that is more free than has ever been true in the history of the world. And okay. I think our understanding of science is changing a lot too. It's quantum mechanics and relativity theory all slowly permeate our culture at a deeper level. It's also fundamentally changing our understanding of science and the relationship between science and the mind and the relationship between science and spirituality. And so things that were thought to be complete enemies now are allowed to have a relationship intellectually that we've never been able to see before, which is very exciting.
You know, you're the right guy for this. I mean, being a faculty member at Harvard Medical School and also having a Master of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary, first of all, you obviously had no social life growing up.
Yeah, true. did not.
That might go hand in hand with growing up Amish. Just wanted to throw that in as well.
Yeah, that really curtailed a lot of social life.
What we used to say was a miracle, so many of those miracles can now be explained by science. The more we understand the human body, the more science is permeating our understanding of the physiological actions and reactions of the human body, the more we then go, oh, I guess that wasn't a miracle. Oh, I guess that wasn't a miracle. Now, you can hear, I can already hear the homeschooling Baptist crowd out there saying to me, or the Amish crowd, saying to me...
they wouldn't be able to listen to a radio.
No, that's right, they don't have the radio. No, they would say to me, well, no, Ed, that is a miracle. Just because the doctor, did it, or just because the body, fixed itself this way, that's a miracle. That's not what I'm talking about when it comes to miracle. Just because something is awesome doesn't mean, I don't put that in the miracle category. Tim, I look at your face... and I say, that is awesome, but it's not a miracle.
Well, it's a miracle that my wife married me.
That's the miracle.
Yes, so there you go. Science, religion, together. Happy.
Well, I think that we have been taught, the unconscious assumptions of much of our education has been that science and faith are somehow completely different parts of the world and parts of ourselves, and never the twain shall meet. And that actually is not true. I think that it's just that we haven't investigated these things and we haven't had a sophisticated enough science to know how to do so in a way that's coherent and valid. And so I think that a miracle is not a contradiction of laws of nature. It's just that as our understanding of nature and our understanding of the incredible capacities of mind and the remarkable possibilities and goodness within the human individual being, as we start to understand those more, we start to understand the powers that lie within the hearts and minds of all of us. No matter who we are, no matter what we've been through or where we come from, there is something of divinity within us, and it's the capacity to begin to let that grow inside of us instead of the self-critical thoughts and the doubts and the fears that so often dominate our lives. And I think that's the key to how these recoveries often happen.
Okay. Have you seen a miracle?
Yes, I have.
Please explain it and let us judge for ourselves.
Okay. Let all us right. be critical. So, Don't be self-critical.
All right. So there's a article that just came up today that I wrote in Spirituality and Health, which is a wonderful little magazine. And I told the story there of Claire. Claire is this wonderful lady. She lives in Hawaii. She typifies so well many of the stories that I see over and over again. She was diagnosed in 2008 by biopsy with pancreatic cancer, the worst kind of pancreatic adenocarcinoma you can have. It's a fatal illness. There is no treatment that can reverse it, and it's a march towards a painful death for many, many people.
That's what my mom died of.
I'm so sorry to hear that. It's an awful, awful cancer. And so she was diagnosed by biopsy, and we know that the diagnosis was accurate. Told that she had just a matter of months to live, and they offered her a surgery. And she's a very reflective individual. Doesn't have a lot of formal education, but she's a very bright person who just is deeply reflective by nature. She is somebody who values science and traditional medicine and typically follows that because she's seen the value of that in her life. But in this case, she decided if she was going to die anyway, and if surgery was only going to forestall that for a short period of time, she didn't want all the side effects that go with that. And she also decided she didn't want chemotherapy or the radiation treatments. She knew that they would only delay death a little bit, and she decided she was not going to spend her time sitting in oncology offices with other people who were dying. She was going to focus on quality of life and spending time with those she loved.
Did she consider physician-assisted suicide? Because that's a big thing in Canada right now.
I don't know that she considered that. I know that she said that one of the biggest things she had to do was she had to face her fear of death. And she said that she knew at a deep level at some point in this process that she just knew intuitively that it was really important for her to not chase a cure. She needed to change her relationship with herself. And so in the process of facing her fear of death and coming to terms with that and expecting to die, she began to change a lot of things in her life. And she has a website, actually, people can see this for themselves, livingwithpancreaticcancer.com. And in 2013, she had an abdominal CT and the cancer was gone. And so she's had quite a journey, and there's no way to really tell all the pieces of that here, but I think it is really fascinating to me because the one thing that we are taught is we don't want to be told something is in our minds. You know, we're, especially in the United States, perhaps, we view that as the one thing we don't want to hear from a doctor. But I think the truth is, as every day I take care of people with chronic illnesses, diabetes, heart disease, asthma, bronchitis, colitis, all kinds of chronic lifestyle illnesses. 45% of Americans suffer from one of five chronic illnesses, and they cause enormous suffering in people's lives and cripple our healthcare system. And as doctors and other healthcare providers, we all kind of know after years of taking care of a lot of these illnesses that there's a huge lifestyle component to all of this with the processed foods we eat and the way we think about ourselves and the losses and the rejections and the pain that we carry in our hearts and our minds that are really related to how our illnesses and how we feel about ourselves at a deep level.
Okay, hold on, Jeff. I've got to interrupt you because we've got to summarize here. I'm just looking at the clock. But what I heard you just say was that this lady had pancreatic cancer, which is nasty, bad, and it'll kill you quicker than lots of other things. Yeah. And she said, I'm going to improve my quality of life instead of hyper-focusing on the downside of all this. I'm going to get a little more rah-rah. So she got all Anthony Robbins on herself or whatever, and then the cancer went away. Is that what I heard you say?
Yep. It is. Now, I want to emphasize a couple things. I do not believe that we can think ourselves into health.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, because a person, it has to be a deep, genuine change, and you have to do the work. You can't just...
So you can't fake it. You can't just mantra yourself into belief.
No, you can't. You have to end up with a completely different experience and perception of yourself in the world that gets rid of the self-critical thoughts and the doubts.
Right.
And it has to be genuine. It cannot be head knowledge. It can't be anything. It's hard work, because changing the way we experience and perceive ourselves in the world is probably the biggest piece of work any of us could ever do. It's hard work.
Right. But what I also heard you say in this story was that she was healed and it had nothing to do with God stuff.
She would not say it that way. You can talk about this. I don't think God is an old man sitting in the sky, and I don't think God is a judge. I think that God has components that are so huge that there's personal aspects and there is a quality of energy that
God can only be framed in a metaphor.
Yes, that's correct. Our language cannot capture anything close to what we're talking about with it. And so fundamentally, it's an experience that goes beyond words that we can know, but it's something where we know more than we can tell. It's something that sits more in our hearts than our minds, but we can use our minds to begin to open up that whole world, I think. But she is not, like Claire, for example, is deeply spiritual but not religious, and she pursued a lot of psychological and spiritual treatments over the course of the years, and she doesn't know exactly which treatments and approaches were more important than others, but she now is grateful for the illness because it so deeply changed the way she sees and experiences herself every day.
Okay.
And so that's what I see over and over with people. And people will try energy healing, they will do psychotherapy, they will go on retreats and learn how to meditate, they will get rid of processed foods, they'll do lots of things. But the thing that really makes them want to talk about this stuff is the way it changes their relationship with themselves. And they see themselves with such less critical ways of viewing themselves.
Well, Dr. Jeffrey Redeker is trained in both medicine and theology, and he's been investigating the medical evidence and stories, miracle stories, you know, since 2003. And according to Dr. Jeffrey Redeker, he says unequivocally that much of physical reality, remarkable as it may sound, is created in our minds. I do not believe that we can think ourselves into health, but I do believe that principles of mind and spirit exist that we have not even begun to scientifically map in the West, and that we should be doing so. Really. So listen, you're one of these guys that I plan on keeping my eye on in some kind of stalker vibe way. Because I find the collision of your two worlds absolutely fascinating, and yet it drives me bonkers. It gives me a headache. So I'm glad someone smart like you is into it, because I just could not handle the world that you are in.
Well, Drew, actually, I just read your bio this morning. You have a fantastic bio.
Oh, stop.
Story of your life.
Don't. Stop.
I'm going to keep my eye on you as well.
Okay, we have a mutual creepy society going on here. MedicineOfHopeAndPossibility.com. MedicineOfHopeAndPossibility.com. That is the website. The gentleman's name is Dr. Jeffrey Redeker, faculty member at Harvard Medical School and a full-blown miracle investigator, really. Master of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's been on Oprah, and he's been on the Drew Marshall Show. He won't be able to sleep tonight. Won't be able to sleep. Jeff, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Drew.
Good to chat. Bye-bye.